Samuel chapter 8. That's where we're going to start this morning. So we'll just go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for the transformation, Father, that is happening in each and every one of us, Father, according to that word and according to your power. And we just thank you, Lord, because we know that it is for our own good, it is for our own benefit, Father, that you work in us, you work through us, and that you continue to just push us, Father, push us forward so that we can become what you have called us to be. And we just thank you, Lord, for that anointing and for that provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, if everybody's in 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. We're just going to go through the first first eight verses. Let's do that. We might be here a while if we're doing the chapters. But as you guys know from reading the Old Testament, we go through a period of time where obviously the Israelites were in the wilderness. They came into the promised land. Now they've been in the promised land. They've obviously not, according to the word, that they have not possessed the promised land like they were supposed to. They've gone through periods of time. So now they have what they call judges. So they have these judges that resided over them so that they can discern between issues and see what's going on and help people settle and resolve things and be guidance for the nation. And Samuel is, he's part of that. I mean, he's part of being a judge for that. And he's actually starting to get a little bit older in age here. So where you can tell that he's ready to rely upon his sons to kind of pass it on in the family line so that he can allow for them to lead over them and to reign over them. But Israel here is starting to demand that they have a king. And we all know that Israel having a king isn't something that is against what God has planned for them. So, I mean, God had already said that, you know, he was going to establish the throne forever. He was going to do those things. He was going to establish a kingdom. So, I mean, they know that they're going to have a king reigning over them. But I want you to see the motive behind their desire here for a king. That is something that we have to be very careful about as well in our own lives. And it says, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn, Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel to Ramah and said to him, 'Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.' But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' So Samuel prayed to God, and the Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also.'" You see, Israel wanted a king not just to have a king to reign over them, but they wanted a king to be like other nations, to be just like everybody else, to be like the other people that were surrounding them. They wanted a king so that they could, you know, recenter and refocus upon God or anything like that. They just wanted to be like other nations. And, you know, that same attitude is prevalent, you know, from not only being with the Israelites, but it's prevalent in today's church itself, from the sense that we want to be just like the other people of this world. We seem to have a desire to hold on to everything that we've done in the past because everybody else has done it. This is how everybody else acts. I'm going to act this way too. It must not be a bad thing. Even though in the church and through Christians, we all know that our behavior is supposed to be set apart. Our behavior is supposed to be holy. Our behavior is supposed to be set apart in a way that people recognize us as something different from the world. But when we refuse to do things differently, when we refuse to do anything contrary to what our friends do or our neighbors do, then what we're doing is we're falling into that same trap that these Israelites were falling into of saying, "I want to just be like the other world." And even if we don't consciously say, "I want to be like the world," our actions demonstrate that belief. Our actions demonstrate that we want to do things just like everybody else does, because we haven't renewed our minds to understand that God is different. He wants us to act differently. You know, so when we want, you know, and part of this is the fact that when you see Christians that they know God, they know enough of God to say that I know God wants to bless me, I know God wants to take care of me, but yet they don't want to act in faith upon those promises. And so, see, that's where the whole idea of you, or not where it came from, but I mean, this is where the church almost embraces that idea, that mentality of I want to have my cake and I want to eat it too, and I want to have somebody else's cake and I want to do that. You know, it's from the standpoint that we're sitting here saying, I want the promises of God, but I don't want to have to act and live like God has asked me to do so. So why can't He just bless me in the way I do it? You know, and so, and then it comes into play where people end up having these, because nobody, and because the church has not made these people disciples of Christ, and they've just made them converts, they sit there and they have these converts that have never renewed their minds. They've never done anything according to the Word of God, and they just expect God to bless them at all times because they're being preached, you know, a gospel that just says, don't worry about your behavior, God will take care of everything. And the fact is that God specifically tells us, you know, just like in James, if there's anybody sick among you, let them come from the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil, and that prayer of faith will heal them. But instead, we take an approach like the world that says, I'm going to try absolutely everything else before I go to God. And then they're like, well, the doctors told me I'm going to die. They said next week is my last week. I'm going to come get prayed for. Not that it's a bad thing, because obviously they see that there's a hope there. But the fact is that when we treat the Word of God as it's supposed to be treated, and we act the way God has called us to act by faith, we will see the fruits of faith. We will see the harvest of faith in our life. But if we determine ourselves to act like everybody else and not say yes and amen to the promises of Jesus, but just approach it as saying, I'm just going to act the way I act, and God will bless me in that. You know, it comes to where I know that some individuals say, well, God and I have a special relationship. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to do these things. You know, God understands me. Yeah, God understands you, and He still loves you, but that's not an intimate relationship with Jesus, because the body of Christ is supposed to be where all of us, like it just says in the book of Acts, like I said this morning, is that they devoted themselves to the word and the breaking of bread and of prayer together at all times. They were constantly in that relationship with each other. So if you guys turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where our next stop is. And just keep in mind that, you know, from that first section in Samuel, is that we need to make sure that our attitudes and our, you know, behavior in our life do not reflect being just like the world. Whether it has to do with a negative attitude, whether it has to do with, you know, you constantly just speaking death over your life, whatever the case might be, it comes with the fact that we have to change. Essentially, we have to change what we are doing. You can't just receive Christ and then go on the way that you've always been and expect anything different on your results. So we have to understand that we have to do these things to put aside what has happened in the past, and we have to move forward with God's design for our life and God's design for our behavior and our speech. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up with Jesus, or raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. You see, in that second verse of this chapter, it starts to reveal the way the apostles approach things. It started to reveal the way that they approach the gospel of God. As they said, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We have renounced basically the old way of people doing things, of where, you know, the law, where the people, where the priests, they preached the law in a way that it was completely hypocritical, where they would, you know, bring people up to have them stoned or have them, you know, everybody to look at them and point down at them and, you know, ridicule them because of the sins that they've committed. But in their lives, they had the same things going on. And they were just completely, you know, in a bad way, to where they would twist the truth. And, you know, just like they were trying to do with Jesus when he was here on the earth, when they were trying to confront him, you know, with the law and trying to trick him, trying to be crafty with the way they did things in order to get him in a bind to where they could say that they could crucify him and take him down. But the fact is that here, in what the Apostle Paul is saying, that we have to renounce and we have to completely take into effect, when we become a new creature, a new creation, that we renounce those things that we used to do. We have to not handle the Word of God deceitfully, not try to say, well, God blesses me, but then we don't read to see how He does it. When we expect God to just bountifully just throw things in our lap, but we never sow any seed. You know, when all those things that we want to happen in our lives, God has specifically laid out in the Word of God how we get those things accomplished. You know, we want to be blessed. We want to be financially prospered. We have to be in partnership with God. Amen. We have to be in financial partnership with God. When it comes to healing, when we want to be healed, we have to change the way our minds work. We have to change the way our mouth speaks. We have to, you know, I can't remember which chapter it is, but it's in Corinthians, but it talks about bringing captive every single thought to Jesus. Because every single thought, and as it goes back to in Proverbs, when it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's like we have to captivate all of our thoughts to becoming in line with Jesus, so that the thoughts about ourselves are in line with the Word of God, are in line with Christ. So then what we speak out of our heart, because see how all these things are connected, because in Matthew it says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we get our thoughts right, then we start thinking about ourselves correctly according to the Word of God. And in our hearts, out of our hearts, those thoughts and those things that are according to the Word will come out of our mouth. So it comes with renewing our mind and capturing our thoughts and making them become slaves of Jesus rather than being slaves of anything else. And we'll go on here to verse 13 real quick, because this is what I want you to see. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, this is talking about all of us. All of us have that same spirit of faith through Jesus. It says, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. You see, the order of that is that we believe, therefore we speak. Not you feel, therefore you speak. Not what is my physical pain going on right now, therefore I will speak it. Okay? Those things, and people are like, well, I can't deny the reality of it. You know, it's not a big deal if you've got some pain in your knee or if you got some pain in your shoulder or whatever, and you say, you know, I've got some pain in my shoulder. But is that where you leave it at? Is that where you leave it at to say, you know, this is my pain and that's it? Or do you say, you know, I've got some pain or some discomfort in my shoulder, but I know that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, that pain is gone. I'm healed. It is no longer going to be in my body anymore. You see, it is where we start believing, and when we have our beliefs right and our thoughts right, we speak right. So that when we believe, and that's what, and I know that that's one thing that I've gotten a lot out of is by listening and reading the books from Joseph Prince. He talks about people are always, you know, wanting to say, you know, you need to behave this way, you need to not behave this way or be bad. But he says the first thing that we have to do in order to get our lives and get the way that we act in a way that, you know, everybody wants to preach you into condemnation to make you work in a different manner. But what he's saying is that we have to understand who we are in Christ and how freely it has already been given to us so that we can understand that this is of nothing that I can do to work for. But it says righteous living or holy living comes from holy believing. Right. It comes from the fact that when we get our hearts right, we will start to see those things manifest in our life. We will start to see the holiness just become an outward action of what has already taken place in our spirit. So that when we start to say, I am in Christ Jesus, therefore I am holy. I am in Christ Jesus, therefore I am healed. As he says, as he is in this world, or as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Jesus isn't sick. He's not demon-possessed. He doesn't have these addictions. He doesn't have these different things going on in his life. He is healed, delivered, and he is completely holy. Amen? So that means that is how we are in this world, and we need to start re-evaluating and reminding ourselves and our minds of who we are in Christ. Because when we do that, we start to believe right, and therefore our speech will start to line up right. So when you listen to other people talk, and this is in no way being like, you know, mean to them and any sort of thing, but when they speak constantly about how bad they feel or how bad something else is or how bad, you know, it's, my toe hurts or my shoulder hurts or everything like that, when they start to constantly do that, it is not that they're a bad person. It's the fact that you have to be reminded that they haven't renewed their mind to who they are in Christ. Because there is absolutely no way for somebody to speak right if they don't believe it in their heart. Because they'll say, well, I tried it, well, and it didn't work. Well, it's because there was nothing going on the inside that lined up with your speech. Instead, you're just sitting there saying, well, this is it, this is it, this is it. And then every so often you'll be like, well, yeah, God, can you heal me? You know, that type of thing. We have to understand that in our hearts and in our minds, we have to believe that the work of Jesus is done. It's complete. The healing, the deliverance, everything is complete. To the fact that if it's complete, why don't we have it right now? And those are the questions we should start asking. Rather than, you know, God's not doing this, God's not doing it. No, the work of Jesus has already been done. We need to figure out why we're not receiving. And a lot of it has to do with an unrenewed mind. A lot of it has to do with the fact that nobody wants to change what they've done in the past in order to receive anything different in the future. People want to keep doing it the same way they've always done it and hide behind what they call reality and say, well, I can't change. You know, I can't do those things. You know, all that kind of stuff. But as it says here, we have to renounce the hidden ways. We have to renounce those old things because when we walk, and I'm going to read verse 2 again, not to really backtrack, but it says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You see, when we start handling what God has given us through the mercy and the grace that God has given us, when we start handling the word of God in an honest way, and we start behaving in an honest way, the way that Jesus has called us to behave, we actually demonstrate the Word of God to other people so that they can see that there is something different. But when we don't commend ourselves to what the Word of God says and handling it as it says, we're basically just trying to twist it into our own gospel. We're trying to twist it into a way that lines up with our own beliefs. So let's go to Romans chapter 6. We'll start in verse 1. And this is just the heading that I have here. It just says, dead to sin and alive to God. And you know, when we cease to change the way that we do things, we are trying to stay, or not trying, but we are staying in bondage to the way we've always done things in the past. And unless you allow God to change those things in you, you'll never receive anything different. So it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He You see, this he's answering the question because obviously the message of grace that that Paul is teaching is a message to where when people hear it, they're like, well, Jiminy, does that mean, I mean, if Christ has paid for everything, does that mean that I can do whatever I want? Because they're saying, you know, well, if sin is there, then grace abounds even more. So maybe I should just keep on going so that God's favor may be shown and so other people can see the demonstration of God's grace and mercy. And he's responding to that here, and he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He goes, certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live in it any longer? So the question I would ask everybody as well this morning, including myself, is that if there is something that is a bad lifestyle or is a bad choice that you make or is a negative outlook that you have or whatever that case might be, why, if we have been freed from those things through Christ Jesus, why do we continue to stay there? Why do we continue to live in it? Why do we continue to speak those things over our life? And not only our life, but over other people's lives. You know, why do we do those things? And how? And the reason why is because people haven't seen the work of Jesus as being complete and seeing the work of Jesus actually being true for them. They think that the work of grace is only for their sin and for nothing more. It's, you know, like the work of grace and the cross of Jesus isn't for everything that they're going through. But it is. It is there for us to renew not only our spirit man, but our physical man as well. It says, or do you not know, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So see, we are so worried about putting to death the things of our old because we think that, well, if I put to death and I do all these other things, then what does that mean for me? People just don't like change, essentially. People just don't like to do anything different than what they've done in the past. But change is absolutely essential for you to grow as a Christian. Change is absolutely essential. You have to, not only like in 2 Corinthians it says renounce the old ways, but as we'll get here, we have to reckon ourselves dead to that old nature. We have to reckon ourselves dead to those old things in the past that we've been going through or that we continue to do. I tell you, as it is said, I know that when Reverend Jordan actually spoke about this, is about having a physical act proceed as a, you know, as an act of faith to receive from God. In a sense, like when he's talking about being slain in the spirit, sometimes maybe God wants you to be slain in the spirit and you just got to relax and just let yourself go, you know. But another thing is talking about the, you know, excuse me, you know, talking about, if you look in the Word of God where he talks about the people with leprosy, it says, reach out your hand. You know, Jesus told them to reach out their hands, but if they would have just kept their hands to themselves and never did anything different, you know, it wouldn't have manifested. Because, I mean, leprosy just basically eats away to where, I mean, it cripples that person. And when he says, you know, to reach out, and as they starts to reach out, the hand started to heal. The body started to heal. And so when it says, go forth, you know, and, you know, and be healed. And the things is that we sit back and we say, well, I can't do that yet. You know, my knees are hurting. I can't do that. I can't do these things. Well, stand on them. You know, do something with those as an act of faith to say, I am healed. You know, if your shoulder is hurting and, you know, you're here in praise and worship, raise your hands up. Work those shoulders. Do something to say, I'm healed. And despite the fact that every time I raise it, it starts to ache through here, don't give in to that pain. Push through that pain to receive the miracle that God has for you. Because every one of us, if we do have that pain or we do have discomfort, we have healing in Jesus. It is not a if statement or anything like that. It is we have healing in Jesus. So that when we have pain, you act in faith towards that healing, and God can bless you and God can completely transform things for you. But the thing is that if we've been united in the likeness of his death, and we put those things back, or we put those things to death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Jesus in his resurrection is completely glorified and holy. He already became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. This is that concept that we're talking about. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with sin or with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. I'm here to tell you that your habits of the old are they have no more dominion over you than you allow them to. Because if we don't, as it will go on here real quick, and it says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. You can't die multiple times for the sin of us. That's what Jesus did. One time for every single one of us, everything has been delivered. It says, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, this is our identification with Christ. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in all its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You see, as you see in verse 12 and 13, the reality of us being dead to sin has not changed if we have received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But as you can see in verse 12 and 13, it says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Don't let yourself obey these things that have been done in the past. Don't let yourself be dominated by these things. And in verse 13 it says, and do not present your members as instruments to unrighteousness to sin. See, it's not the fact that the sins that we've done in the past or we might do in the future haven't been punished. It's the fact that we continue to allow those things to be present. We continue to allow those things or allow ourselves to be instruments for Satan's use by saying that we believe in the Word of God, yet treating it like it has absolutely no power in our lives. Saying that I believe in God, but treating Him as He's a distant relative that you might see once or twice a year. You know, it is the fact that when we do that, we are not handling the Word of God truthfully. Because the Word of God says that we're supposed to receive our daily bread from Jesus. He's saying that we're supposed to receive from Him at all times. He says His grace is sufficient for us, but it says today is the day of salvation. Today is a day that we need to be concerned with, because it says tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Amen? So we need to be worried about today. We need to be worried about what we are doing today. Are we presenting ourselves to God? Or are we presenting ourselves to bad habits? Are we presenting ourselves to sin? Are we presenting ourselves to do these things over and over in our lives? Because the reality is that sin no longer has dominion over you. Amen? Absolutely, sin has no dominion over you anymore. But, as verse 11 says, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to put those things behind us. Those things that try to dominate us in our lives, we have to remind ourselves and reckon ourselves dead to them. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 real quick. And I'll just read something. It's actually verse 12. And this is the one thing that's so great about God is that we have complete freedom in Christ. We have freedom to still be rotten people. And no offense, but if just because we're born again doesn't make you a nice person, all right? I don't want anybody to think that because you're a Christian, you're automatically a nice person or anything like that. But the fact is that, you know, the reality is our mentality and our lifestyle doesn't change until we renew our minds to the Word of God. Our spirit man is 100% whole and secure and sealed, but our outward actions and our characteristics that we reflect, unless you renew your minds and get those thoughts in line with the Word of God and in line with Christ, we will not reflect that in our behavior. So if you were a horribly mean person before you came to know Christ, until you renew your mind, you're probably going to be a mean person going forward. You'll just be a mean person that's probably going to heaven. Okay? So you guys shouldn't be happy about that. So it should be a thing that people are like, oh, that's cool, whatever, you know, not a big deal. But the fact is that if you had bad habits before, chances are those habits are probably going to be there after until you say, I don't want these bad habits. I'm not, you know, I'm not under dominion of these bad habits anymore. I'm not under dominion of being a negative Nancy to people all the time, or a pessimistic Polly, however you want to call them, okay? But the thing is that when people are constantly negative in their life, what in the world do they expect as fruit? I mean, I don't understand it at all when people say, well, they're sick. I mean, there's people that I work with that, you know, an individual in particular, if she hears anybody like sneeze, oh, are you coming down with something over there? It's like, oh my goodness. You know, she's always wanting to, you know, see if somebody else is going to be sick. It's like, I don't know if the people live for it or what, but no offense, but I don't like being sick. So as soon as anything tries to come against me, I want to renounce it as quick as possible. I don't like being there. Are you guys with me? Okay. So what we're talking about today can change the fact that if you do get sick or you do have some symptoms come against you, that you can change the way that those symptoms are going to result. Okay? The result of those symptoms can either A, leave you, or B, stay with you because you continue to just live under the dominion of them. Okay? So we have to do things differently. Like it says here, we have this freedom in Christ where it says in verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. How many of you guys can say amen to some of your behaviors? It's probably not very helpful. Okay? Every single one of us has a behavior that's not very helpful. My behavior that's not very helpful for me is cookies. Okay? That's one of them that's completely not very helpful for me.
Ice cream,
okay? So, and it's not to say that these things are bad, okay? But the thing is that we live under dominion of these things to where they, for some reason, have some special power over us, okay? Like when you see a plate, like for me, you see a plate of homemade warm pudding chip cookies at Susie's house, okay? They're sitting there. She's the agent of sin for me, okay? So no, but no, there's this plate, and so it's kind of like, and you try talking to yourself in the fact that they're small, and you're like, well, since they're small, that means I can have a few more, right? Well, they're small because they pack such a punch in one of them. So, I mean, you don't need any more than a couple. But the thing is that that's a lifestyle that, you know, I still fall prey to. Thank God that I know that I am doing better than I was in the past. But the thing is that you have to reckon that behavior as something you want to change. You know, it's kind of like an article that I read a while back in the newspaper is talking about people that want to lose weight or want to change, you know, want to get healthier or whatever. It is an absolute mindset that they have to change. They have to determine in their minds, I want to change. I want to do something differently. Because as long as the idea is just, oh, I'd like to lose a few pounds or whatever, you never will. Until you make your mindset that I'm going to do something absolutely different than what I've done in the past because I want to be something different. The same reality as it is for the physical nature and that with losing weight or getting healthier or whatever you want to say is the same thing for your spirit life. If you want something different in a spirit life, get healthier in your spirit life. Make a determination to change in your spirit life. I'm going to go to church all the time. And I'm not saying that to say that church is your key to holiness. But what I'm saying is that we cheat ourselves out of being blessed by the Word of God being spoken to us when we don't come. We absolutely cheat ourselves out of it. But when we are at home, feed yourselves. Feed yourself the Word of God. Speak those things over the Word. One thing that I heard this week when I was listening to some sermons at work, and I remember back in the day when we always did Willie George for our ministries down in Children's Church, and so I started listening to some of his teachings on Church of the Move. They have like a podcast and stuff. So I started reading through some, or not reading them, but listening to them. And one of the things that he said, you know, when people say faith comes by hearing the Word of Christ, or by the Word of God, but it's the Word concerning Christ. And he was saying that not only is it from hearing the Word of God being preached to you or reading the Word of God that the faith comes through, but faith starts to build in ourselves when we speak it ourselves over our life. to the fact that when we start to believe those things, when we start to say, you know, I'm healed in Jesus' name, I thank you for divine health. Even when we're not sick, okay? Even when you're not sick, if we aren't doing something proactive, just thanking God for our healing, thanking God for always taking care of us, we shouldn't be going to God every time we have a need, in a sense of being that the only time you go to Him. But we should be going to God every single day of our life, even if we don't think that we have something that we need from Him. But we need to go to Him and pray to Him. And it's that fact that when we start speaking those things over our own lives, that faith starts building in us. So we have, you know, multiple different ways that we can build our faith, by reading, by hearing teaching, but by also confessing the Scriptures with our own mouth so that our ears hear it as well, so that we start to receive that word from ourselves as we're ministering to ourselves. But as it says here, as we've talked about, all things are lawful, so we can do anything that we want to, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. It's the fact that we cannot let this attitude that people say, well, I'm just a realist, so therefore I'm negative. You know, people take their negative attitude to say, well, I just call it like I see it. Well, that's exactly the problem. Because if you're a Christian and you're calling it like you see it, you're not calling it like you believe it, like the Apostle Paul just told us to. We believe, therefore we speak. We don't call it like we see it, we call it like we believe it. We call it in a manner of what we expect to happen in that situation, not in a manner of what we think is that physical reality at that moment. So we have to understand that there are things that we have to remind ourselves and reckon ourselves dead to it, to the fact that we need to be brought, we don't want to be under the power of anything. So if you guys turn to John chapter 5, just think about in your minds, what are some things that you'd like to change? You know, is there something that you'd like to do? Is there, you know, do you want to change the way you act? Do you want to change the way that you speak? Do you want to change the way, you know, that you interact with other people? Do you want to be nicer to other people? Do you want to do these things that, because, you know, and especially in the body of Christ, there ought to be love circulating, okay? Love circulating, not anything else, because as we understand, see, this is one thing that's, I see so evident, not only in the body of Christ, but in the physical body of everybody out here. So when we sit here and we talk about love, and we talk about the body of Christ being members in particular, so we're all part of the body of Christ, but yet sometimes we want to take an attitude or a predetermined spirit in our hearts to basically cut off one of our own fingers, or do something that completely damages another part of the body. Just as we do sometimes when you look at medicine, they're saying, yes, you can take this medicine, it can help your cholesterol, but it might just shut down your liver, or it might shut down something else. And so we look at these medicines that we take for our physical body that are saying, hey, we can take this medicine, yeah, it might cure a problem here, but it might create one over here as well. And so they give you these side effects, but the fact is that with God, we can have our heart healed and not have any side effects that kill any rest of part of our body. This is why it's not that I don't like medicines or anything like that, but the fact is that there are so many things out there that we also, being just the consumers and not the researchers with this medicine or with these different things or pharmaceuticals, we don't know everything about this medicine. So the fact is we take it on blind faith and unknowingly can compromise something else in our body. But if we sit here and we walk in a way that is, you know, we walk in divine health to where we are completely set apart from other people, to where when the flu season comes, it's not flu season for us. But it goes back, and I'm not really good at remembering all the chapters and verses, but I know that it tells us that every tongue that rises in condemnation or rises in judgment against you, we shall condemn. So the things that rise up and, you know, basically in accusations or things that are spoken over our lives, we have to condemn those things. We have to take an authoritative action in order to reduce those things and call them as they are. In John chapter 5, I'm going to read this real quick. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Now in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, that whoever stepped in first after stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews were therefore said to him that he was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who had made me well said, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is this man who said this to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. The reason why I wanted you to think about what are some things that you want to change. If I asked you if you wanted to change something, or if I knew you or whatever, and I said, you know, do you want to change the fact that you're really a negative person? Do you want to change that fact? Or do you want to change something else that's in your life? What is your first reaction? Because when you look at this guy, he was sick for a very long time. It might be the way that you have done things your whole life. It might be the fact that you never, you know, in church, you've never closed your eyes. You've never praised God. You've never, you know, there's different things that people say that they've never done before. Are there things that you want to change? Because changing is absolutely essential for you to grow in Jesus. Because if you're not willing to see, you know, what the Word of God says about worship, if you're not willing to see what the Word of God says about how you praise Him, then is God your God? Because God's Word should be what dictates the way we live. And so here, I want you to see the way this guy has been ill for what it says, 38 years. And then in verse 6, Jesus comes to him and says, and when Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he had been in that condition a long time, he said, "Do you want to be made well?" A lot of us would say, "Well, duh. Yeah, I want to be made well." But what's the first thing he says? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." An excuse. He makes an excuse to Jesus about why he hasn't changed, or why he hasn't been made whole. Okay? Not, "Yes, I want to be made whole." But it was like, "Well, this is the reason why I'm not." So the same time for us, when people say, "Well, why don't you act a little bit different?" Well, this is just the way I am. Okay? Well, if that's just the way you are and it's not according to the Word of God, no offense, but we are insulting the power of Jesus to the fact that Jesus can change every single behavior you have. If you're addicted to cigarettes, Jesus can change. You're addicted to tobacco, Jesus can change it. If you're addicted to anything, if you're under the dominion of anything, He can change it. Don't cheat yourselves out of it by making excuses. Because even though this guy made an excuse, Jesus gave him a commandment to rise, take up your bed, and walk. And because he listened and did it, he received the result that Jesus had for him. And he goes on and tells him later on, it says, "Go see that you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So basically, we have to check our attitudes, because what we do in those things that we allow, if we allow sin to have dominion over our lives, we will reap those things. We will reap those things. It is not that your sin hasn't been paid for. It's the fact that if you continue to serve a certain master, you're going to get treated by that master. Okay? When you serve Jesus, you get treated as Jesus would treat His servant. And He treats you like a brother, like a sister, like a son and daughter of God. He treats us so well. So the fact is that we have to understand that we need to change in our lives. So we need to understand that, you know, with changes, obviously, there's a little bit of risk involved, whether it's a change in a relationship. You know, when we want to change our relationships with other people, you know, we want to, I know for, you know, when you're younger, you know, if you're just seeing the person, or if you go into going out with that person or whatever, the stages in that relationship, as you move forward, the risks get different and the risks get more involved. So for us, when we choose to step in further in our relationship with Christ, yeah, there's a risk you might lose a friend here or there. There's a risk you might lose these things. But these things that you lose will not be bad things to lose. Anytime you lose something for God, it is well worth it, because He has something so much better to replace that for you. If you lose, you know, it's about time that we started losing our pride and losing our self, you know, our self-righteousness or our self-contained to where the fact that we sit here and we say, well, I just am who I am. Everybody else can just deal with it, you know. We're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to encourage one another. Let everything that comes out of our mouth be building up, not tearing down. Those are the things that we need to do. So, you know, anytime there's change, there's always something that can be a little bit uncomfortable. But the fact is that we can do it with Jesus. You just have to make that choice. You have to make that choice that, is this something I want to change? And if it is, and I plead with you this morning, you guys, we all need to change. I need to become more, you know, open and more, you know, just easy flowing and just flowing with the Spirit. There are things that I need to do with my, you know, there are things in my life that I still need to accomplish. I need to learn how to, you know, I need to learn how to treat my wife better. I need to learn how to treat my kids better. I need to learn these things. Every single one of us needs to do that. We all have, even if there's something that you might say or somebody else might say, you know, you do this pretty well. Well, that doesn't matter if they think that I do it pretty well. If it's not perfect in line with the Word of God, I've always got room for improvement. Every single one of us has room for improvement, whether it's worship, whether it's giving, whether it, you know, reminding ourselves that we need to put God first. I mean, everything we have to do, there is a change that needs to take place. So every single one of us has a change. So all I can ask for you guys this morning is the fact that, do you want to change? And if you do want to change, make the effort and get yourselves into the Word of God, because as we renew our minds, our thoughts are renewed, our beliefs are renewed, our speech will be renewed as well, and we will start reaping the harvest that we want. Amen? Well, if you guys want to stand up, we'll go ahead and pray, and then we will take communion real quick after we get done praying. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for Your Word, and Lord, we thank You that it is Your desire that we, every single one of us, change, because, Father, we know that who are we as the clay to tell the potter of what we want to be. Father, we need to be just in line with You and just allow You to mold us and change us. Father, that we are not resistive. We are not resisting, Father, to anything that You want in our lives, but You, we are open to everything that You want, everything that You have for us. And I just thank You, Lord, that there will be people here this morning that today they will move forward, Father, in their spiritual life because they have made a choice to change. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whatever that nature is, Father, we know that You have a call for our lives, and we thank You that we will run this race, Father. We will do it just as You have called, so that we can reach people for You. In Jesus' name, amen.